Welcome back to In the Moment. Today we talk misconduct and consequences and how national revelations of sexual assault, harassment, and misconduct are offering an opportunity and a challenge for political leaders to address the role of power and abuse. SDPB's Kevin Wooster wrote about it in his blog. On the other hand, you can find the full piece at sdpb.org/Wooster. We welcome him back to the program now. Kevin, thanks for being here.
Hey, Laurie, it's good to be back. I kind of wish we were talking about something else, but okay. That's the way it works in this. We're talking about something we don't want to talk about, but we need to talk about.
Yeah, can we go fishing instead? Is that...
Wouldn't we much rather do that?
Aren't you retired?
Yeah. Hey, one of the things I tell people is one of the benefits of my job these days is I only cover things I want to cover. And this is one of those things you just want to cover, but... As you mentioned, a piece I did, and it really was, started out with Christine Ohm being in town for a Forest Service meeting and some questions I ask in a reporter cluster afterwards. And that's kind of, I've been looking for a way to get into this, and you'd sit down, you'd watch TV and listen to the radio and read the paper and shake your head, you know, want to bang your head on the table, really, and say, what's going on? And I'm still not really sure of the right way to write something. I have something more to write, but I just haven't figured it out. But Representative Noem gave me an inroad, at least, to start it.
This is, presents a particular challenge for anyone who is in political leadership, but also a particular responsibility, and it comes at an interesting time in our political history as a nation as well. So let's lay the background for, Congresswoman Noem has said that this is not something that has happened to her, but it's something she's horrified by as well. So where does the story begin for her? Does it begin with the presidential campaign? Does it begin, in Congress with other, misconduct? Where does she become part of the solution or the leadership opportunity or part of the problem? Like, when does she enter the fray?
Well, I think she's trying to do that. It's almost like, you're a kid and you're playing skip rope. People are twirling the rope and you're looking for an entry point because it's dangerous to enter for certain people, depending on how you start this conversation. It's awkward. I think she would agree that she's been fortunate that she's never had to endure anything like this. And, part of the reason I talked to her about it was that I thought perhaps she had mentioned it before, but maybe there was something that she hadn't talked about. And she said, no, not herself, but she has daughters, and she obviously has friends, and she has a responsibility. So when our discussion of pine beetles and other things was over, and I asked some other questions about issues that she's worked on, important issues like suicide on the reservation and some other things that I'm going to continue working on, we got to this because you have to get to this. And what is her role in this? As I say in the piece, she's in a complicated, difficult spot in many ways because as a woman, obviously, as a human being, she wants to speak out on this, and she did in this. I mean, she talks about, the need for us to change the culture and the need for us to have strong leadership in this. It's a disturbing time, and it's a time of perhaps a cultural shift, hopefully.
But, all right. So what are her thoughts on Senator Al Franken or Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore? Does she get specific with you?
Those were a couple of two that I just, I wanted to ask about. One is a Democrat, one's a Republican, and there're different allegations against them, obviously, but both in the spotlight. And, should Franken resign? Is what has been alleged and what he has admitted to enough for him to resign? And she said she thought it could be. She said everyone needs to be treated the same. There shouldn't be people who get a pass on certain situations because it's very serious. And of course, we'll get to the whole question of who gets or doesn't get a pass on this in a minute. But she left it up to Franken to evaluate and see where it would take her. Then on Roy Moore and on the allegations that, that he was in his 30s and kind of came on to these teenage girls, one of them only 14 or, more than that, even an assault allegation. She said if the allegations are true, and of course everybody's starting into it that way, but she followed strongly with, I have no reason to doubt them, then he should step aside. It's serious business and we shouldn't tolerate it. Well, that seemed like an obvious sequence to lead into the question about President Trump. And that's where things get complicated.
All right, let's go there.
Well, her answer was not a good one, and I said that in a column. You know, I did a little editorializing, and I mean, because I asked her about that. Well, how about him and the allegations against him? And it was something she said essentially, and I'm going to find it here. There were allegations made, but it was also heavily vetted in the last campaign, and I don't believe that there was any action that was discussed at the time. So I think that if some of the same allegations came forward, they'd have to be evaluated at that time. And it was one of those things where you kind of want to knock the side of your head and say, huh? And I said that. It's not much of an answer, but she's in a tough spot because she's trying to work with this president. He is now, you know, just denying any of this stuff happened by, what, 10 or 12 women? And his comments on Access Hollywood, where he talks about groping women and forcibly kissing women. Now he apparently is implying to some that maybe that wasn't authentic, but at the time the quote was, those were my words, I said them, I apologize. One of the rare times that a man who said he never apologizes had apologized. Now I don't know where he's going with that, but leaves no man this situation. I interviewed her yesterday about another subject, a story I'm doing, and at the end I said, you know, is there anything you'd like to add on the harassment? And since then, Matt Lauer had come out, you know, that story had come out, and based on President Trump, and she said essentially no, although she did say that if those allegations were proven against the president, I mean, then some action should be taken, and said that's as much as I want to say. You know, and the question there is, how do you prove those allegations unless you have a full-blown trial? Or unless the person says, yes, I did things that were wrong and I apologize, which the president hasn't done.
What's her tone when she has this? Can you characterize how she's feeling? Is there a heaviness to it? Is there a sense of wanting to sort of deflect it and get back to, you know, issues she finds more, you know, significant, like tax reform? Or, you know, do you see those wheels turning and think, you know, she's working on what this looks like in the governor's race and what this looks like, what this looks like, you know, in the future and changing a culture?
She has to think about what it looks like in the governor's race. She's in a state where 63% of the people voted for Donald Trump after 63% of the voters who voted for Donald Trump last fall, after Access Hollywood, after most of the allegations came out. After the president said, yeah, I did it, essentially, admitted to Access Hollywood, if not necessarily the, you know, he resisted any of those other allegations, but he admitted he said what he said. And, of course, at that time he said, I'm going to sue all these liars. Well, I don't think any lawsuits have been filed on his behalf since then. But how do you take on that president with his, as I called him there, his napalm Twitter bomber, and the people that are so deeply committed to Donald Trump that I think they really would, as he said, some of them, when he said he could shoot somebody on Main Street and they'd still vote for him. How do you, if you're a Republican, looking at a Republican primary where the most, you know, the most powerfully Trumpized people are likely to come out, how do you look at that primary and take on Donald Trump over this issue if you're hoping to become the first woman governor in South Dakota history?
Doesn't that speak to the, you know, so my mind just kind of blew there a little bit, because doesn't that speak to the whole point? Women can't come out and say something because they're afraid their career is going to end?
Exactly. I mean, she's not in an unusual spot. She's just in a high profile spot. But, you know, whether you talk about Anita Hill saying, how could you work for Clarence Thomas in one job and then follow him to another job when you say he had sexually harassed you in the first job? And, you know, and one of the things she said years later was, I really wanted the second job. I really wanted my career to survive and flourish. And I was hoping that the other stuff would end. And, you know, whether you believe her or not, that's a believable response. And whether it's a 19-year-old intern or a young employee in a Senate or a congressional office, or any other position like that. You're trying to pay the bills and pay off your loans and develop a professional standing, and you suddenly have to face the question that I never had to face. I never had to face. The guys I've known never had to face that question. It's hard enough to start your own career without that kind of stuff.
So Matt Lauer, Harvey Weinstein, Charlie Rose, Garrison Keillor, Louis C.K., they don't have jobs anymore. Their careers have been greatly impacted by allegations against them. Matt Lauer was fired within 24 hours of, the investigation had been going on a long time, but he was fired very quickly. Al Franken, Conyers, President Trump, Roy Moore, they're not facing the same consequences at this point in the game. What does that sort of say about accountability in Washington, I guess, is my question.
It says Conyers now, Nancy Pelosi apparently believes he should step down and has said so, and Conyers' lawyer says it's none of her business, it's the voters' job. Well, it's not really until the next election, you know. And I understand that argument that it really is up to the voters, but there reaches a point, I think, where you have to rely on the decency of the people accused to make a judgment based on the values, the real values, or maybe somebody that just make it so untenable that they have to step down. But clearly, people in politics are playing by different rules than most of the rest of the world are on this, as you pointed out.
And you mentioned moving into a governor's race in 2018, and obviously South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley is in the newspaper because he has to deal with the allegations against Gene Abdallah as well.
Yeah.
So this is we're teeing this up to be something that we're going to have a conversation about for a long time, even though none of us want to have the conversation we want.
Yeah.
It's not palatable.
That's for sure. Absolutely.
How does that sort of play out?
Well, I this is a question that Marty Jackley's going to have to ask, and that Christine Ohm are going to have to answer, and Christine Ohm's going to have to answer, and I think we're all going to be talking about this. And that's the good news in all this. I mean, my wife walked downstairs this morning when I was in the kitchen with our grandson and said, "Okay, who resigned today?" Because remember, it was going like that, and you're just saying that Charlie Rose was the hardest for me because I've loved Charlie Rose for so long. I wasn't really a big Matt Lauer fan, but I was stunned by that. And then you just go across at Mark Halperin, all the people, Bill O'Reilly, when it started, you think, and I think still today, don't you? Who's next?
Right.
Who's coming out tomorrow? And all of this leads to, okay, but what are we going to do about it? And one of the things I've said was, if you're an American man in this country and you're not thinking about the way you have treated women, the way you are treating women, you better start thinking a different way.
Kevin Wooster's blog is On the Other Hand. You can find it at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, we'll be talking about this in the future, I'm sure. Thanks for being here.
Okay. We'll see you.